All right, everyone, how are you today? First thing I want to start with is this. If you are finding value in this group and you think it's helping you excel in your law enforcement career, invite a friend in. When we see that somebody has invited somebody and you're a vetted member of this group, we'll just pretty much approve it right away. We don't just allow our group members to casually invite everybody, because if somebody actually squeaks through the cracks here, we don't want to invite like the whole Democratic anti-police movement into the groups and make it uncontrollable. So we just still have a process we have to go through to approve it. But essentially, if you're finding value, I want to encourage you to invite more people into the group. We'll have a contest soon. We're actually just waiting for our label maker to come in so we can send out t-shirts, which we're going to get away for free in the future. But that's the first thing. One thing I want to talk to you about today is, it may sound unorthodox for some of the prescriptions or advice that we're giving you here to employ in your daily duties as a police officer or as an interdiction officer, whatever it may be. But let me give you some food for thought. I'm not going to stray off on this too much. I want to stay direct and to the point. A lot of times on my motor vehicle stops, and if you're allowed to do this and it's permitted and it's legally permitted wherever you are in the country, this applies for every police officer in all facets of at least the continental United States, to include Hawaii and Alaska. A lot of guys think that once you get consent or a dog hits and you go in and you find your product, like let's call this, there was 100 pills of ecstasy in this, right? Let's say that you found this, propped it open, you got them, right? It really shouldn't end there. If you're allowed to, it's not frowned upon, or you're not going to have anybody really giving you a hard time about this, a good tactic to employ is to read Miranda at that junction and then pose questions designed to elicit incriminating statements. What does that mean? Let's say you find this. Would it look good if you said, all right, listen, man, we found this. You're under arrest. You don't got to put cuffs on. Whatever you want to do. Remember, handcuffing by itself doesn't make somebody now arrested. When you find this, they're arrested at that junction. You're going to have to read Miranda if you're going to pose questions. But hear me out on this. You found this and you say, hey, man, we found this. You're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you can afford one, the government will provide one for you. The whole nine. And then you say to the guy or girl, hey, look, I should have turned my phone off before I went live. But, of course, and it's Jesse Harden that texted me at the same time. Back to this. So what you should say at that junction is, okay, would you want to talk with me further? A lot of times you're going to find that when somebody has been defeated or you found what you were looking for, you've done a real thorough job, they're generally giving up. They're going to work with you. They're going to talk to you. They're going to do anything they can to try to help themselves out. And the fight's kind of over mentally. I don't think they really – a lot of people give it up. Now, not every person is going to be cooperative. They're going to still clam up, and especially seasoned criminals. But, you know, you get some people who don't have that much experience or just genuinely want to come clean. It'll make their conscience feel better. So you say, hey, look, I want to ask you some questions if you're willing to answer them. Where did you get these ecstasy pills from? What was your intention with them, right? So let's do a faux banter. Hey, man, how many ecstasy pills are in this? I bought 100 pills. Where'd you buy them from? Two counties up. I paid. And how much you pay for these? I paid $1,000 for these 100 ecstasy pills, like $10 a piece. Well, what were you doing with 100 ecstasy pills? Were you going to sell them? Yeah, I was going to take them back. I was going to sell them for $25 a piece. So in turn, I was expecting to make $1,500. So now, and you can go on and on. Who'd you buy it from? How did you plan on selling them? Are people expecting you to come back? Just continue to ask those questions. You have a roadside interview of a confession post-Miranda on an MVR that you can document. And guess what happens when they go to court and you document it as such in your report, or they go meet with their defense attorney once they go back to headquarters, they bail out, whatever it may be, or your precinct, they bail out, or the release, whatever it may be. They go meet their defense attorney the next day or the following week. The guy sits down, Oprah's your video, has his report, reads it, watches the video, and says, we got nothing. How are we going to challenge this? You gave the guy a taped statement, verbal, post-Miranda, on the side of the road, and gave explicit details as to the product and the contraband that he found. How are we ever going to defend against this? Now, some people will advocate and say things like this, because we always have antagonistic people in this group. Now, not everybody has the same rules in their agencies. I have been advised that there's some agencies that don't allow their patrolmen to read Miranda. One guy, when I did this video in the past, said, oh, well, our detective bureau is the only persons that can read Miranda. One, that's a departmental issue administratively. Somebody came up with some cockamamie idea that police officers couldn't read Miranda because you were assigned to a certain division. That may be where you're at, but it's kind of not correct. And when I posed the question to the guy was, well, is your detective bureau responding out to a motor vehicle stop when you find four bags of marijuana and you're going to try to? He says, well, obviously not. Well, then what's the problem here? You're not going to have them respond out to take a statement on somebody who has four bags of weed. I think some people tend to put a value on higher level stops and interdiction. And this could be used in any case. If you really start to think about employing something like this, I mean, there's a lot of incidences where you can read Miranda and have people going to an admission roadside. I don't think it's a problem. I did this a lot. You know, a lot of my cases, especially towards the end of my career, not my whole career, but towards the end, when I thought about this, I said, let me just start getting people to admit this on camera once I found this stuff. So it's that extra step. Now, you may not see people doing this. It may not be common, or I don't know how big of a case you have, but essentially most of us are going to be medium to low level interdiction officers. And what's a high level interdiction officer? If you're stopping cars and getting kilos and you're getting, cavalcades and huge amounts of, money seizures, there may be different rules applying with that. But for medium to low level stuff, which is most of the things that we're all going to get, 98% of us. And I'm not sitting here proclaiming that I was some huge kilo interdictor and I was getting 15, 20 kilos on a stop. That wasn't the case. I had big jobs, really consistent between medium and high level, but I had low level stuff too. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I was some master person that you're going to watch my infamous. I understood body language. I understood a lot of things. I worked at a very high paced police department. We serviced a lot of calls. I told the guy yesterday we serviced at the end of the year. We had our CAD incidents were up to over like 140,000 every year. That doesn't mean it's 140,000 calls were responded to, but it goes to show you how big our volume was, how busy we were at times. And that's not an excuse. Just being real with everybody on that. I was assigned to an interdiction unit, patrol division officer who employed interdiction style tactics. When we had some downtime, which happened, I probably had 30% of downtime throughout my career where I was able to go out, deploy patients, interdict, have pretextual stops, interdict crime. And, through the course of my experiences, that's how I come out here. And I'm able to have the audacity to tell you guys the things that I found that worked for me that I think you should use as well. Or it's suggestion, get your wheels turning a little bit to think outside the box. If we were following what was orthodox, we wouldn't have success because most people aren't understanding things that are being talked about in this group. So I know there's a lot of you, there's over 16,000 members at this current junction. I know that a lot of people in this group have attested to, I never even thought of that. That was really good. We're using that. That's great. So not a bad idea to use. That's a good tip and tactic for everybody universally across the country to use. And that's today's advice for you. So, you want to toss that idea around with your administration, maybe your direct supervisor. Maybe you want to give your prosecutor's office a call. Be careful with that a little bit, and see what they think about it, or try it and see how it goes. Not a bad way to continue your investigation, wrap up your stop, and make it look really good and really bulletproof your case up. With that being said, check out treecoptraining.com for upcoming courses. We'll be traveling throughout the country. And we have some video content coming out about how to host a course throughout the country. Real, real successful for the out-of-state program. A lot of cool stuff coming up for Street Cop Training. I just want to thank everybody for being part of it. And I'll see you guys tomorrow.